What is going on, my real estate investing friends? I wanted to jump in here and tell you thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I seriously hope that it brings you an insane amount of value in order for you to be able to crush it in your marketing for your active real estate investing business. This show is specifically here to educate real estate investors on amping up their marketing. So more than likely, if you're listening to this show, you are either already an active investor or you're wanting to jump in, you're doing a little bit of educating for yourself. So if you're either of those and you enjoy this show, you're gonna wanna subscribe to the REI Marketing Weekly Email Newsletter. Yes, I know that's a mouthful, but it is totally worth it because that's where this show kind of derived from. And in that newsletter, it's 100% value content and it's got four segments in each newsletter that goes out every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time about crushing it in your real estate investing business marketing. We have segments where I myself give a marketing tip. We have a segment for a marketing update or a how-to. So if there's something that's new on like Facebook or a new algorithm for Google or something like that, we talk about that, or there's a new platform that comes out. We also do a lot of how-tos. And then we have a segment specifically for somebody that is in an active real estate investing business, crushing it in some form of their marketing efforts. And that's where this show comes in. So we're literally stripping the audio from that interview and putting it into this show. So there's that segment on the email newsletter. And then there's a segment specifically for a tool or a resource that you're able to use in your marketing. So in order to get to this, go to colormedia.com/subscribe, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. So colormedia.com/subscribe. Make sure that you do that. Do not miss out on it because it's a great newsletter, 100% value. There's no selling in there. And you guys are going to learn so much from that. It's just an extension of this podcast and for you guys to be able to go deeper into your marketing and get all these little tips here and there that are going to help you stand out in your market. So again, thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure that you share it around with your friends. I seriously appreciate it. If you do, leave a review if you're able to, and then I hope you enjoy. Let's get started with today's Who's Crushing It segment. Let's go. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And today I'm excited to have our special guest on the show, Robert Seifert out of, he says Tampa, but he's in San Francisco right now. So I don't know what's going on there. That's a pretty drastic difference. Yeah. So Robert, it's good to have you on the show, man. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. My pleasure. Yeah,
for sure. So I'm super excited. So this is actually my first time ever talking to Robert. So this is cool. And we jumped on just like we like knew each other and everything. So yeah. That just goes to show you the network and how you can hear about somebody and get to know them a little bit through social media. And that's one marketing technique that you could do. But today we're actually going to be talking about list stacking and how follow-up is not necessarily a sales thing, but it's a marketing thing as well. And he's going to talk about how that is a lot of times it's not the lack of marketing that you're doing, but the lack of follow-up is maybe why you're not getting deals that you're wanting to get locked down. So we're going to be talking about those things, and I'll have Robert introduce himself here in just a second for those of you who don't know who he is. But before we get into it, if you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the REI Marketing Weekly on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. If you are on Apple Podcasts, I would much appreciate a 5-star review after the show, not before, after this show. Head back over to the homepage and leave me a 5-star review with your thoughts and your feedback. You can also email me, josh@colormedia.com, to ask me questions or maybe suggest a guest that you want on the show or just to connect. I love connecting with people. So just do that. And then anything that we're talking about in the actual episode today is going to be linked in the description below. So make sure you do check that out and click on anything. We're going to have all the social connections for Robert here and then his domains that he's going to mention, which is realestateinvestor.com, which is like the most badass domain that you could possibly possess right now. So that's cool. But we'll have all that link below for you guys. And then make sure you are checking out REI.video, a platform where you could shoot your own video content because we all know that video content is the dominating force in marketing today. So shoot your own videos, whether it's property walkthroughs, testimonials, educational videos, things that you want to put on your website, social media platforms, Google My Business, whatever. Shoot your own videos, send it over to REI.video. We'll edit it, get it produced. We can add captions, titles, music, anything that you want on the video, unlimited revisions, and you get it back in 48 hours. So make sure you go try it out. Use coupon code FIRSTVID at checkout for your first order, and you'll get 50% off your first order. So go try it out. Again, REI.video. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the episode today. Robert, I'm excited to have you on the show. Man, I've heard so much good stuff about you. Just a lot of close friends of mine that know you very well, and I've just like sang your praises. So do me a favor, and for the people that don't know who you are, just give me a brief introduction to yourself. So who you are, what you do, a little bit about the origin story of Robert Seifert.
Yeah, pleasure. And likewise, man, I hear a lot of good things about you. So it was easy to just hop on.
Yeah, exactly.
Background, I spent a decade reading and studying real estate before I actually ever did real estate. So I'm one of those, didn't take any action, thought I had to learn everything first, and then finally did about, wow, it's almost 7 years now. Wow. Jumped in full bore into real estate, started wholesaling houses primarily, did over a couple hundred of those. That turned very quickly into recognizing a trend that was following what I was doing. So I got into the turnkey business specifically, flipping rental properties, owned a management company that built up over 500 doors, all of this up in the Midwest and Michigan where I'm originally born and raised.
Yeah.
And then I started building a software so I could expand. And software, just something on Podio, something to run my business and allow me to expand markets. Got into some closed door masterminds and shared what I had built over the last 12 months to scale. When I moved to Florida, wow, it's almost been here almost 5 years now. It's 4.5 years here in Florida and Tampa. That was the first expansion market. Well, that turned into a few years ago, deciding there was a massive need in the lack of technology that allowed us to leverage our businesses. Or if there was technology, it was just too confusing to cobblestone it all together.
Yeah.
So I developed one, actually a couple now. And over the last 3 years, we have just taken over and revolutionized how to essentially automate your entire business and save money on your marketing. So now, you know, sitting in Tampa, Florida, I go and speak on stages at different events, not any recent, COVID, but prior to COVID, that was starting to take off too. And now, as you mentioned, right, people have probably heard property list manager in our industry, or they've heard the investor PO CRM. All of that is now under the realestateinvestor.com platform, right? And so that is where all the tools, services, resources, everything that supports real estate investing is what my main focus is now. And still have a decent wholesaling business that just runs itself, and just brought on a new CEO for that, USA awesome. Portfolio Real Estate. That's my background in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. And I'm happy to hear that, you know, you're a practitioner still as well. So you have your pulse on the actual industry itself, whereas, you know, a lot of people, you know, I'll just give you, for instance, like myself, like I don't invest in real estate myself, but I run the marketing side for a lot of businesses. So I still have my hand in these businesses and have a pulse on like the market and what's going on and that kind of thing. So that's good to hear. So let's go ahead and jump into the topic for today. And guys, again, everything that he mentioned below, we're going to have linked below. So make sure you do check all that stuff out. So we're going to talk about list stacking and then kind of segment that into follow-up, because I've always told people, and I'm not sure exactly what you think, but, and I've had this conversation with multiple people like John Martinez, Don Costa, you know, Mike Cambright, and a couple other people. And I strongly believe that follow-up does not fall into sales. I think it's marketing because of just the way you carry it out. So let's talk about list stacking first. And then I'm interested to hear what you have to say about, you know, follow-up. So first of all, I know we've had a couple people on here talk about, you know, skip tracing, list stacking, stuff like that. But from your perspective, list stacking, what is it? Why is it important? How it can affect your marketing to make it more efficient?
Yeah. So let me take a step back to where the word, you know, a lot of people use it now. It's a sexy marketing term. The reality is, if you go back 3 years, there was no such thing. How do I know? Because we created the term. We made it up and we tried to trademark it, but it was too generic for us to get the trademark on it. So now people use it.
Sure.
Except I would tell you, because of the guy that created the name, that it is completely misused today in what it actually is. So we came up with the term because we actually list stack.
Sure.
Very few people know, like, there is a guy that is in closed door private groups, charges tens of thousands of dollars for his list, and it is stacked, right? And he gives it to you. The reality is, most people today are using list stacking as a sexy marketing term, and all they're explaining when they explain it to you is filtering, right? Go to list source, put in absentee, put in three bedroom, put in equity, and I filtered down my results, so I stacked it. That is absolutely not list stacking. You are actually losing potential goldmine deals when you do that. And so list stacking is first and foremost getting all the good data. First, it all starts with good quality data that you can get. So pick a pain point: absentee, vacant, high equity, divorce, water shutoffs, code violations, tax defaults, foreclosures, you name it. I call it pain points, right? We still call it lists because people understand lists, but really you're looking for pain points. What is a motivational point or a point of data? Get the whole data set. So don't eliminate or filter that down. Get all of the absentees for your market. Get all
at this
of
point,
the for your market.
At this point, you're just categorizing it. You're not eliminating. Yes. You're not doing the whole keep kind, keep kill combine, you know, all that stuff. You're just categorizing what you have.
Exactly. Because here's where the difference comes. When you filter, you're filtering out anything that doesn't meet this exact one, two, three, four. So people think they're list stacking because they've chosen three filters. The reality is you filtered out a bunch of potential data. Mm-hmm. So in a very specific filter, you've now filtered out, okay, so if I got absentee, probate, vacant, right? Well, is that any better than someone who's absentee, foreclosure, tax default? No, but if you filter one way, you've eliminated that potential. When you get all the data and you put it into a system, you could do this in Excel and spend a lot of money building out the formulas, or you could use Property List Manager, automatically does this. Mm-hmm. When you put all the data in, it automatically stacks all of that. So I honestly don't care what the combination of the three or four or five or six filters, right? For me, it's list pain points. All I care is that there are multiple data points. The more data points you have, three, four, five, six, seven, the more niched that is. Now I can tell you, because Property List Manager at this point manages over 100 million property addresses across the nation for thousands of investors.
Insane.
From the data over the last 3 years, I can tell you that about 10% of all the data you put in. So if you put in 100,000 property addresses from multiple sources, data points, about 10,000 of those people are the ones you should be going after and are the most likely to do any sort of deal for you that makes sense for wholesaler, even flippers that are looking for a good profit margin, right?
Yeah.
And so that, what does that mean? That means 90% of your marketing, if you're just doing what most gurus teach, right? Which is, hey, just get a bunch of data and mail it all or call it all or text it all. You're wasting 90% of your marketing dollars because those people aren't interested right now. They don't have enough motivation. There's not enough data to say they're worth it. So that's, I mean, that is list stacking at its core. Don't mistake that for filtering, which is what everyone is preaching now when they use the word list stacking.
Yeah, exactly. So like the way my brain kind of puts it together is it's like, like I said, you're just categorizing things the way you want it to be. Like you're going to, you know, essentially boil it down to that 90% gets segmented out. So you only have that 10% that you're really marketing hard to. But here's an example that I like to use. So like, for instance, like I was, I've been in the market to buy a motorcycle, right? So I'm trying to find a motorcycle, see something that fits me. I've never ridden a motorcycle before, like owned one. I've ridden them, but I've never owned one. So took it out on the street and all that kind of thing. And so like last night I was going through Auto Trader trying to find something I was looking for. And one of my buddies pointed out, I think it's a Honda Rebel or something like that. And he said, that's a really good starter bike. So I go to Auto Trader and, you know, you can filter what you're looking for. And so I filtered Honda and then Rebel, but there's a couple of models of Rebel. And so then it gave me the option to choose like the 500cc, 300cc and a couple other things. And so I just chose naturally. I'm like, I'll just go with the 500cc. And when the results pulled up, there was like two results. And I'm like, why is that? And so like, he told me it's like a very popular bike. And so I'm looking at it and the prices are like significantly higher than what he told me. So then I went back and I selected 300cc and then like 100 results pulled up. And these were bikes that I was actually looking for in my price range, exactly the colors, the models that I'm looking for. And it was like the exact bike I was looking for. And so I came across one. I'm like, man, this is it. And so like, that's what filtering is. And so when I filtered out just the 300cc, just one selection, it eliminated like all of my options. And so like, that's one of the biggest differences is filtering is you're getting rid of things. Look at it as like a coffee filter, you know, you're getting rid of the grounds and you're just getting the actual like good liquid out of it. So I think there's a place for that. Is that accurate to say? Like, there's a place for the filtering.
There is, but generally speaking, start with the more data, the better, right? In your example, had you just put in no CCs, you would have gotten all the results, right? What about all the bikes that didn't list the 300 or 500? They didn't show up because you put a filter in. Same thing with, if I put high equity in as a filter, right? Because I'm taught high equity is better. All right, well, you just eliminated all the unknown equity or untransferred deed. And those are gold mine leads, but you just eliminate them and you're not marketing to them at all because you eliminated them. So it's, there's a place for filtering, but I would say it's after you start with getting all the data, you've stacked it, then you filter down the size of your list to what fits your marketing budget from there. But first, stack it to get it down. And if that fits your budget, go after all that in every format you can.
Truly stack it, because I'm with you. I've heard other people like talk about stacking as basically like it's the filtering you're bringing down like to a specific list that you want to market to, but really stacking is just, you think of it as like you're just stacking the categories and into what they need to be in and then marketing to those. So let's talk about how follow-up plays in with all of this, and we're running out of time here. I got to get you back on so we could talk about more stuff, because I'm sure we could just rant for a very long time, right? So let's talk about follow-up and how this ties in with list stacking and any marketing in general too, because I think that follow-up is in the category of marketing.
I'm 100% with you. I think follow-up is marketing. I think that, you know, funnels, say it any way you want to. For me, this is number one, you got to automate it or else it's probably not going to happen. Yeah. Harvard study says that it's not until after the sixth time that we touch somebody that there's even potential to do a deal with them. This is across all sales channels, right? And so it is part of marketing, because marketing, if you haven't first thought out how you're going to follow up and you think just because I turn on marketing, someone calls me, I get a deal, you're missing out on 90% of your deals, right? And so you have to think through your follow-up. When they reach out to me, what is my follow-up strategy all the way through to a minimum of 6 to 12 touches? And I would say a year's worth of follow-up is a good gold mine to have as part of your marketing component. And so no matter how they reach out, you then got to follow up with them from day one within minutes of whatever marketing channel they responded to, with the knowledge that, you know, I think the number that we've seen statistically at realestateinvestor.com is about 1 in 110 are laid down first contact deals. Yeah. The rest of your deals are going to come from follow-up. So somewhere between the next 6, 12, 18 months worth of follow-up. And so if you haven't thought that out before your marketing, you're throwing your marketing dollars away before you even put it out there.
Yeah.
Because you have to follow up.
Are you willing to share what your follow-up system looks like? Like, the first touch, obviously that's a phone call most of the time when the seller calls. Like after that, I mean, what is it? Like a text message, email, another phone call? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, we do four different touch points. And if you can, five. So what are they? They are emails. Absolutely. If you have an email address, you should be sending emails. If you have a cell phone number, you should be sending text messages. And also ringless voicemail drops if you're capable, so they can hear a physical voice from you as well. And it can be automated as far as that can be done. And then you should have postcards, thank you cards, some sort of letter, something that touches them in a different way. And so those are the four primaries that you should absolutely have. And the fifth one is a physical phone call. If you can actually have someone on your team call them to physically engage them, all five of those are the best. And why four or five? Because everyone responds to different things. So if you just have one, you're, again, email, for example, 20% is a typical open rate in real estate. So that means you're missing out on 80% of people not even reading what you sent.
Right, exactly. So I have two questions following that up. So first of all, postcards, like what are you putting on? Are these different postcards from like maybe your initial mailing? Like what do those look like?
Yeah, typically in a follow-up postcard, I'm going to do premium, high quality, high gloss, multicolor, usually like a thank you type of note.
Yeah.
It's something that it's engaging them from a different perspective. I'm not, now I know they've shown interest and now I'm trying to build a relationship with them so that I can get them to talk to me. And really postcards are like, I'm not sending that day one because they reached out, but if it's a buyer, I might be.
Right.
I might be sending one in a week or a month, but if it's a seller, it's probably like 30 days out. They haven't responded to anything else for me to get a deal. I'm popping a high gloss, high quality postcard out to them to try and engage them because they haven't responded to email, text, or phone calls. So I got to try mail because they may open their mailbox. I got to do something to engage them.
Sure. So now my final question here is, when you drop them into that follow-up sequence, at what point are you dropping them in? Is it when the seller, you know, the seller gives you that first initial phone call back and says, I'm interested in selling, I'm just not ready yet? Is that like, so now they're a lead as opposed to just a prospect. At what point are you dropping them in that actual funnel and starting that sequence for the follow-up?
Yeah, so process. I do it in two places, and I automate the whole thing. It's the bread and butter of what we do, right? So as soon as they initially contact me, I'm instantly, within minutes, following up with them based on where they came from. I want them to be acknowledged. So especially if you don't have the team or the size or the scale to do this, automating that allows me to know that if they fill out a web form, I want to reach out to them within 5 minutes or less, or else they're going somewhere else. So I automate a follow-up at that point. Once they become an active lead, I change my style of conversation to fit what they are, and they're actively engaging now, and my follow-up changes. Mm. And that, again, should be automated. Because if you leave it up to you, you're going to forget or miss one of those steps.
Yeah, and so you guys can tell that, you know, Robert puts a lot of thought and effort and a lot of critiquing, I assume a lot of innovation, into your actual follow-up process. So is this something that you come back to every once in a while and you tweak the process and you make it better? Or is it something that you just kind of set it and forget it? Like, how do you approach that?
Well, we as a company keep coming back and tweaking it based on what we're doing so that we can make it better for our users. But from our users' perspective, this is done for them. It's already set up. And they should take the thought process. Anytime you're developing a marketing channel to go after, to your point, think out how you want to follow up and engage them from day one. And then it's a set it and forget it.
Yeah, for sure. So my point being is that, you know, Robert puts a lot of time, money, effort, equity into his follow-ups sequence. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's worth it, because it works. And so I think a lot of people, I've seen a lot of real estate investors that they'll, you know, create this follow-up, you know, sequence, and then it's kind of set it and forget it. And a lot of times they build it on their own, right? So they go through Infusionsoft or Podio or whatever they're using in order to create that, but they never revisit it. They never try to critique it and make it better. And Robert could probably, you know, attest to this, is like the first sequence that you put out there, if you're beginning in real estate right now and you create this first follow-up sequence, like, I would put my finger on the pulse all the freaking time, because you don't know when those holes are going to come up in the ship, and then there's going to be leaking water, and all of a sudden it's going to sink and your follow-up sequence is not going to work. And you're going to be coming back to us and saying, follow-up doesn't work. I don't know why it doesn't work. And then it's because you don't know, you didn't keep an eye on it. And the first one, you can kind of look at it as almost like your beta test. You know, it's like the first thing that you put out is never going to be the right one. You always got to perfect it and critique it. And it's treat it as a living organism, something that you're going to attend to at all times, because this is the way you're going to lock deals down on a consistent basis. And so I think that is something that's admirable about what you've got going on, because you value follow-up so much. It's the most important thing when it comes to locking a deal down, like bringing in the leads, just the beginning. And that sometimes can be the easiest thing, is bringing in the lead, and then actually getting that close to follow-up can be even more difficult. So Robert, man, I have to let you go, but I appreciate your time and everything that you shared on here. And we're definitely going to have you back again soon, because there's plenty more that we could talk about. But before I do let you go, I want to give you the opportunity for people to connect with you. So if somebody wants to reach out to you or maybe learn more about realestateinvestor.com, obviously they didn't go there, but you know, the platform that you've got, what is the best way to make that happen? Or if they want to reach out with you and just connect with you.
Hey, obviously you can go to realestateinvestor.com and learn everything about what we do. You can reach out directly to me on Facebook or Instagram, Robert Seifert, Real Robert Seifert on Instagram, or robert@realestateinvestor.com. I'll also shoot you over links, since you're going to put links down in here. Yeah. I'll give everybody a free gift. I have a link I'll give you that'll give them a year's worth of email follow-ups that I paid a top real estate copywriter to write.
Awesome. Very cool. So I appreciate that. So you guys, make sure you take advantage of that. We will have that linked in the description below. So I wasn't expecting that. That's cool. So you guys, just for being listeners to the REI Marketing Weekly, see, it pays off. So thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. You guys, make sure you check out all those links below. Connect with Robert. Awesome guy, as you can tell, and knows his stuff. So Robert, thanks for being on the show, man. I look forward to having you back again soon.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the show. If you're on Apple Podcasts, right now is the time to head back over to the homepage for the show. Leave a 5-star review. I'd much appreciate that with your feedback. Reach out to me if you have any questions, josh@colormedia.com. And then you can also go to rei.video, film your own videos, and then have us do the heavy lifting, which is the editing and production for you. Submit that over your raw footage, whether it's from your phone, a camera, or whatever, Zoom, it doesn't matter. Film your own videos, send it over to the platform. We'll get it edited for you, returned to you in 48 hours with unlimited revisions. Don't forget first vid at checkout. In the coupon section, you'll get 50% off your first order. Thank you so much for listening into the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Later.